My first one opened in 92 when I came back from Toulouse, and I had a shop in 6 years in Toulouse. I was a young young tattoo is very young, but I didn't get an apprenticeship. I just self-taught and learned everything by myself, you know?
At what age?
18.
At 18? And what interested you in tattoos? Like, how did you even start to be
interested? Well, I started to see some, and then I started right away to get some. And when I started to get some, I started to wanted to grab the tattoo machine from the tattoos right away. And that's pretty much the only thing I was thinking about. Until now.
Until now. Where did you get tattooed? In a basement, at someone's house, at a tattoo shop?
Oh, it was tattoo shops already, you know. It was like a shitty tattooist, you know, the old Bruno from Paris, you know. It was pretty much the only one. I mean, the only one I knew. There was like a couple of other ones in Paris at the time. Maybe 5 tattooists in Paris at the time in the 80s. And I quickly got to tattoo in another place. It was very hard to become a tattoo artist at this time, you know, like when you hear the people wanted to be an apprentice, like, oh, it's so hard to get an apprenticeship today. This was not even an apprenticeship at the time. It was not existing, you know. You were going to the tattoo artist and checking on what they were doing and didn't say anything. So
yeah,
I quickly started to travel and visit, for example, Carrie. Mm-hmm. Right away, which was the first one I visited when I was in the States, when I was in Anaheim. And of course, I was visiting Jack and Mark, who was in the Good Time Charlie Tattoo Land at the time, too. It wasn't far from Cary, actually.
Yeah.
And I started to travel to know the Americans, because the Americans were the main ones at the time, you know, the Japanese and the Americans. But all these Ed Hardy, Mike Malone, Carrie Barber, Jack Rudy, all the big names, they were here, you know, Leo Zulueta and Freddie Negrete and Mark Mahoney and all these, you know, these legends.
And how did you know about them? Were you looking at them in magazines? Were you?
No, we didn't have any magazines. We didn't have any internet, and there was a few Tattoo Time Ed Hardy was publishing. What was there? The Tattoo Advocate from Chauncey Gorman or something. But it was just a few things from England as well. Lionel Titchener and who else? It was just a few.
Yeah. You and know, everybody knew each other.
Oh, yeah, so. We did, you know. So we're sending pictures to each other. We just knew each other. I don't even know how we knew each other, but we knew each other. And anybody who was published in Tattoo Time was already a big name. Just one publication was already a big shot at the time, because there were no publication, you know, so
yeah.
As simple as this.
And how was it meeting Carrie and Jack and
Oh, it
Mark?
Was great. They were great. Carrie especially was so great with me, you know, and she was such an idol right away, you know, and she tattooed me, and I didn't miss a single part of what she was doing, you know. I didn't dare even asking an explanation. She was giving me a few tips, you know, but at the time there were no apprenticeship. You were just looking at it and everything was in front of your eyes, you know, so you had to learn by yourself. So it was tough, and you really had to really want it to succeed, but when you really wanted it, you succeeded.
So you go over to the States and you meet all of these artists, and then you come back to Paris. Was there anyone here in Paris that you kind of linked up with and grew in the industry with?
Not really. There was a few tattooists in France at the time, but I was in Toulouse at the time, so there was a few one in Paris I was linked to, but not to learn something, because I was more learning from Americans than any French, because the French scene didn't happen at all at the time, you know. There were nobody, kind of, you know. There were tattooists, you know, but they didn't know much more than me.
Yeah. <You know? laughs> Everybody was starting at the ground level.
Oh, yeah. I was like, I remember I was like making my needle with a lighter, because I didn't know that we could use a soldering iron, you know. I was a total beginner, you know, but it was a good thing.
So you were making your own needles. Were you making your own inks at the time, too?
Yeah, of course we were mixing it. Like, they were not such ready ink like you find today. It was like powder, and you had to know the trick to mix it with what, you know?
Yeah.
So if some tattooist tells you with what you're mixing it, it was already a good tip, you know? It's it was that secret at the time. It was really like a secret word.
Yeah, and you probably had to try multiple times in order to get that ink to the right.
Oh, yeah, and you stain your kitchen for real, you know?
Small sacrifice.
Yeah.
So how long were you tattooing before you decided to open up your own shop?
Couple of years, not even, you know. I started 18, and when I was 20, I had my own shop.
Oh, shit.
I could buy, a shop in south of France. Somebody was selling, for very cheap, and I didn't know anyone in the city, but I quickly moved to get a shop, you know, and I was 20 and I had a shop.
How would you describe your style?
I was doing realistic at the time, you know, and not much people except Jack was doing it. And Jack gave me the best compliment, you know, at the time, you know, so I was one of the realistic guys way far before anyone else. And I quit doing it quickly, not doing it, but publishing it, because I became a realistic freak, and I didn't want to tattoo only portraits my whole life, you know, so I wanted to do dragons and Japanese stuff too. So my style is realistic and Japanese kind, because I don't even follow any Japanese rules or standards, you know. I'm just doing my own way.
Which is your own style.
Yeah.
That's how you do it. When you were learning from Jack, did he give you any tips that
I didn't learn from Jack. Okay. I learned from Jack because he's a standard and he's a legend, so you always learn from legend, but he never gave me any tip. I never, you know, I didn't learn from anyone kind of, and from everyone at the same time, you know, cuz watching somebody and shutting your mouth is already a lot if they allow you to stay here. And if you're smart enough, I mean, everything is in front of your eyes. You don't need to ask anything. It's in front of you. You just need to figure it out.
Can you describe the atmosphere in Paris when you started tattooing? What kind of clientele were you getting?
Oh, I had all kinds of clientele, like skinheads, rockers, bikers, and military guys, you know, and any kind. Same kind as today, I guess. Just less proportions, you know, less people by the number, but it's been pretty much the same. I didn't see much of a change for that.
It's so different from when you started. In the future, what do you hope stands the test of time through tattooing for future generations?
I hope some tattooists are going to be recognized as an artist by the French government. I don't know how it's going on in the States, but in France, we're still not recognized as an artist, which is good for many of us because you don't have to just get a tattoo machine in your hand to be an artist. Most of them are scratchers. Kind of majority of them are bad. That's for real. But many of them are real creative people, and they're not still considered as an artist just because the only reproach you can make to them is to make their art on skin and not on paper.
So
that's the only thing I'm fighting against. And after, you know, tattoo is becoming popular, and it's very nice in many ways, and it's very bad in many other ways, because you got a lot of things shouldn't exist, too much tattoos on the face, on the eyes, on that. But who am I to say what is right and what is wrong? You know, it's going to go in certain directions. It's going to be as beautiful as it can be and as ugly as it can be too. You know, that's just the way it is. You know, you got bad stuff and good stuff.
Yeah.
In everything.
Well, tattoos essentially are on the fringe of society to begin with. So even within our industry, once it starts evolving, it might be going a certain way that even the people that started it don't really understand.
Maybe, we don't know. We don't know. It's hard to control sometimes. It's a different time and different rules. I don't know. Things are moving, you know. What are we going to do about it?
Yeah. We got to move along with it. There's no other choice.
Yeah, that's just the way it is. You try to control a little bit as much as we can, but we can't do much, you know. That's and the world is going in a in a weird place by itself, so there's not going to be much human maybe pretty soon, so maybe not much tattooist either.
Yeah, so just get tattooed as much as possible
now.
Yeah,
that's true.
We're all
yeah, take advantage. You're still alive.
Very much so. Are there any artists that you personally are looking at that are changing the game or inspiring you or making you just think a little bit more about the industry?
Oh, yeah, there's many changing the game. They're all changing the game, kind of, because it's incredible. I used to be the realistic king, you know, 20 years ago. I don't even know what's going on anymore today, you know, because all this Nico Hurtado, Vero Imbo, Mikhail Tage, you know, I can't do that realistic and like I'm incapable of, you know. So they changed the game, all of them, you know. But yeah, Japanese change. They all changed the game. It's going like very like in a high quality, you know. It wasn't there 20 years ago, that skilled and that beautiful. So it's moving in a good direction.
Well, Tintin, you're an icon and a legend, and I want to thank you so much for taking time to talk to us today. And I hope you enjoy the rest of your beautiful show that you put on today.
Thanks for talking to me.